You're listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Today, I'm speaking with Kara Mia, and we are talking about what life sometimes throws towards us and how sometimes we just feel like shit and sometimes we don't want to show up and sometimes we just do it anyway. I feel like there's been a common thread talking to a lot of people across a lot of industries in the last like maybe 6 months that a lot of people have been struggling mentally and going through some big life changes. There's been so many different life changes and that sometimes it can be hard to keep showing up as your full self when you feel like you don't have everything to give. Now, I don't know about you and if you feel that way, but for me, I've definitely felt that way over the last 6 months, especially with moving, so many different life changes, things like that. And sometimes it really does feel hard to keep showing up, keep putting a smile on your face. You're feeling uninspired, you're not feeling creative, and you still do the thing regardless. So Kara Mia, she's an amazing photographer. If you haven't seen her work yet, you're going to be blown away. You can find her on Instagram, Kara Mia. It's at Kara Mia. And she's actually gone through a lot of different things in the last 6 months. And I feel like she's grown leaps and bounds. And I can see that she's like learning so many different life lessons and she's navigating through this, like the amazing person that she is. And I think it's so important to share some of the things that she shares because it really does show that like, no matter where you are, I know you've been through some shit stuff. Like there's no one listening to this podcast. I know this. There's no one listening to this podcast that just says every single day has been the best day of my life, Jai. You know, so sometimes we have those valleys where we go down and it helps us appreciate when we go up over those summits, when it is hard, we show up regardless, we get those big rewards, you know, and we want to show it off to people and go, look what I've created for myself. Look how I've overcome this challenge in my life. Look how I'm still here. Look how relentless I am, whatever it is. I think it's really important. Now, I am interviewing Kara Mia because she's going to be speaking at the Unrealistic Workshop that's coming up in Los Angeles. I can't wait to get over there to see everybody, hug everybody, be on stage with everybody and share some really cool insights, do some brainstorming, share some strategies that I know that are working right now, some mindset tips, talking about our why and everything else with the talented crew that are going to be getting up on stage with me to share 2 days of learnings, which is going to be really, really cool. We have people flying in from New Zealand, from Australia, from Canada, from Mexico, from Europe, from Spain, all around the US. So it's so cool to see a collective of people that are just ambitious, relentless. They're just looking for the next thing, plug them in, and then they're bringing value to people by when they're walking in through the room, they're going to be walking around saying, what connection can I make? How can I bring you some more value? How can we collaborate? How can we build each other up? How can we build this community up? How can we be part of an industry that we're proud of and everything else? I'm really excited. If you do want to get tickets, and I suggest that you do, especially if you want online tickets, then head over to my Instagram account, jailong.co, and just send me the DM word workshop, and I will send you all the details. I'm really excited to see you there. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back, Kara Mia. Second time you've been on the podcast now, and we've done a little bit of work together, and I'm really excited to have today's conversation. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's so good to see you.
Yeah. I'm really passionate actually right now about the stuff that you want to talk about today, when we put ourselves first and how if we don't, we can really easily end up with a lot of burnout and things like that. And I know that in the last 12 months, you've gone through a lot of different things and it has been hard for you. And I feel like for myself, I've sort of been in the same space. It's been pretty hard with like different things as well. And I think like a lot of the times behind closed doors, you don't see a lot of the most successful people that we see or people we admire and stuff like that. You don't really know what's going on or what actually happens because all you see is the success sometimes. So I'm excited to get real, get to know who you are and talk about putting yourselves forward.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What's been going on with you? You said you're going through some hard times too.
You know what? It's not really like that hard in a sense. I think, to be honest, what I actually think it is I think I've got social media burnout.
Feel that. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think like I've been talking to a couple of people lately and like, Jai, you're not showing up as much anymore. Like, are you okay and everything? And I'm like, I'm totally fine in my normal life. But I absolutely feel like right now, like With the algorithms changing and with Reels taking over, it's like sucks you in harder than ever before. And it's even harder to get away from it. And you're watching mindless stuff and it brings me no happiness. And then I realize that I start spiraling downhill because maybe if I spend half an hour a day looking at Reels, it's too long.
It's exhausting. No,
it's exhausting. So tell me about your last 12 months. I know that you've been growing your business and you've been doing some amazing things. In your career, you've been hitting some absolute milestones. I know you put a lot of work into doing content shoots. I know you talk at workshops. You've talked at the Wedding Photography Summit and things like that. So tell me what your last 12 months has looked like.
Yes. Okay. We're about to just get really real. Just diving in. I feel like my last 12 months have been hell. I don't know how else to say it in pretty much any other way. Bittersweet, good and bad. I went through a divorce. I was in a 7-year kind of emotionally abusive relationship, looking at moving pretty soon, probably losing my house. I bought this house. It's the one that we're in now. I'll be losing that most likely. Went to Egypt. I got sexually assaulted in Egypt. That cut me down. I just feel like I had some big financial losses last year. It's been not to like bum you out. It's just been like a series of really hard things that have happened kind of consecutively. And I think it's just been interesting to come back from that and kind of like redefine who I am, try to figure out how to navigate what it's like to run a business when your personal life is actually falling apart. And I feel like there's so many people out there that can relate to that specifically.
Oh, yeah. How did it feel trying to run a business and try and keep on top of that?
Man, there's so many different things. In a way, there's a little bit, you almost have to dissociate a little bit to kind of be like, all right, my business is what's keeping me like happy. It's what's something that I can like focus on to like escape my current reality. And I feel like, honestly, that's what photography did for me pretty much the last 6 years. If I'm going to be totally honest with you, I feel like my marriage was really hard and I was unhappy. And that was something I could throw myself into and get a return every time and connect with people all over the world and find a lot of happiness in that. But I will say that there came a point last year that was really scary for me around probably December, where I feel like I usually have this like really colorful inner world, this fire that like makes me want to get up and create and I'm motivated. And that fire was just gone. It was just like, I was in this empty room and that's a really scary place to be. If you find yourself
that sounds asking, so scary.
Yeah. Like, should I be doing this anymore? Am I a fraud? Am I an imposter? Show up with the camera and you're like, what do I even do? Whereas normally I'm like, we're going to do this. And oh, I'm thinking about this. And it was just like it was very unsettling, but I went to therapy, going to therapy, doing self-care. I got diagnosed with PTSD, which explains where that burnout came from. It like actually explained why I wasn't feeling like myself and haven't been for a while. And I feel like it's slowly returning. So I don't know if that answers the question, but it's coming back.
Oh, totally. And I guess like, I feel like running a business at the best of times is hard because you have that self-doubt, like you're saying. And there's so many things. And so when you have outside influences for your, something else is out of balance, and it could be your love life. It could be your home life, could be your health, could be your fitness, could be, it's like so many different things. And when something's out of balance, it's really hard to try and keep everything afloat as well. So it would have impacted you in so many different ways.
Yeah, definitely. It's like it affects everything. So it's been, yeah. And I feel like, but the overall sense that I'm getting, the more that I talk with people, other photographers, especially from the last couple of years, is that people have really been through it recently. I feel like you just don't know, like you were saying, somebody shows up on social media, what they're actually going through. Like, I think I posted my travel schedule recently. I've got all these people like, oh my gosh, like, can I come with you? You're living your dream life. Like, I want to do this. And like, I was crying in my bed the day I made that post because honestly, this year I thought I was going to have a baby and take a step back from photography. And now I'm like, what am I doing? So life is interesting. I don't know what to tell you, but yeah.
You know, I actually, I've got one of my best friends and he's going through a big breakup at the moment. And I've been like, he's rocking support. And what he has said to me actually yesterday was, he actually did not realize that so many people were having a hard time with their relationships. And now like he just went to sort of like a men's club just to go and talk to a whole bunch of people. And he was saying that he doesn't feel alone anymore because for so long he thought he had to hold everything together because everyone else had everything together. And then the second that he didn't have everything together, he felt alone in that situation. And now he feels like he's found some people that, well, he's realized everyone feels the same way. And I think that was like really empowering for him to step up and go, okay, well, if everyone feels this way, that means I can like, well, normalize it a little bit, but it means there's nothing wrong with him and he can move forward and work on himself, which was really cool.
Yeah, I love that. I think that we tend to be really hard on ourselves as creatives. You know, you feel like a machine sometimes. It's the constant creation, the constant putting yourself out there and being the best version of yourself. And that's great. I think that that's wonderful, but we're not robots. We are human. And that means that we're going to have human moments. And that means that it's not all going to be 100% all the time. And I feel like, I don't know what the point of even sharing all of this is other than to say that it's okay. You can still pick yourself back up. And it doesn't mean that you're not meant to be doing what you're doing just because you're having a hard time. That was something that I had to tell myself, because when you're feeling that loss of like self and just like motivation, you question everything. I mean, do you have days like that where you just kind of feel like, am I supposed to be doing this? Even though you know you love it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Probably more so than recent than ever before. It's just like, what am I doing? Like, seriously. Do you feel like, I know it's only, this is all like recent stuff, and I feel like you probably don't know all the life lessons that's come from this, but do you feel like that you have strengthened your mindset and maybe a few different views, and there's been some like positive things that have come from this experience for you?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I think it's interesting with life. Sometimes we'll make decisions and other times life makes them for us, and you just kind of have to like hang on and hope that it works out. But there's been a quote that's been at the forefront of my mind. You've probably heard it, or maybe you read the book. It's called The Mountain Is You by Brianna West. She said, your new life is going to cost you your old one. It's going to cost you your comfort zone and your sense of direction. It's going to cost you your relationship and friends. It's going to cost you being liked and understood. It doesn't matter. The people who are meant for you are going to meet you on the other side. You're going to build a new comfort zone around the things that actually move you forward. Instead of being liked, you're going to be loved. Instead of being understood, you're going to be seen. All you're going to lose is what was built for a person you no longer are. And that is something that I feel like I really resonate with. I kind of feel like I've been just like jettisoned out into the universe and everything that was familiar the last couple of years. I've like lost. I feel like I'm just kind of on like a romantic, like that. My relationship ended physically. Lots of things have been changing. Spiritually, I'm kind of going through a deconstruction. Creatively, I'm being drawn to new things. And I think I was really resisting that change for a while. It's hard not to, because when you feel comfortable, why would you want to change? But I think what I'm trying to embrace is just, I don't know what this new life is, but I'm just trying to accept it for what it is and view the power in that, kind of a metamorphosis of sorts.
You know, talking about quotes and something, literally you said it, I think, or something really similar, but a quote that I love is, you need to make the hard choices, because if you don't, life's going to make them for you anyway. And so regardless, you have to do the hard things. And I feel like with this is, it's sort of like, it's like maybe you didn't make the choice in the last, you know, you're saying 6 years, and maybe you were resisting a lot of change and stuff, but life is going to make it for you anyway. And so you have to, you know, you have to face that stuff. And maybe that could be like one of the big lessons for you. Maybe it's like, you do need to follow your intuition and you need to put yourself forward. And there's like, maybe there's so much in that realm that, yeah, you learn from something like this.
Yeah, that's the hope, I think, just that you, sometimes you feel like you're moving blindly, but maybe this would apply to anybody, that either you're at a crossroads, something big just happened, you're kind of questioning where to go next, I think, or maybe you're just tired of where you're at. I feel like that's pretty common. We get to this point where you're feeling like a disconnect from maybe even yourself and your surroundings. And I think the best thing you can do is just be as true to yourself as possible. Don't water yourself down and take that next step, even if you don't know where it's going to lead, and just hope that that will provide a new vantage point to take one more step. I think for me, I'm a perfectionist. I like to plan things in advance. I like to, you know, think 15 steps ahead. I think you're similar probably in that way of thinking about the strategy of it. That's not always realistic. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you really just have to like take one step and see where that gets you.
Yeah. Also, I think like when you got so many expectations, like one thing that I've heard a lot throughout my life is like the expectations is the killer of joy. And like something that you said before, it's like, I thought I was going to have a kid this year, and I thought I was going to step away from photography. And like, so what we do is we have all these expectations for ourselves and our life and a direction, all these things. And when it disappears, it's like, it kills your joy, because it's like, what am I supposed to do now? And it's really hard to be out of control when you thought that you had control. But really, like, none of us ever have control, do we? We sort of just have to build for the thing that we want and then hope that it works out. But if it doesn't work out, we always need to pivot and change and do whatever we need to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I feel like this is a therapy session, Jai. I'm like, let me know when you learn how to do it. But,
let me know when you work that out.
Yeah, how does one do that? But yeah, I think that it's true. When you just kind of like let it happen, live life in the present, hopefully it'll lead you somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing is like, I feel like every experience and everything that we do, and it like it's going to lead to so many different experiences, and you're going to meet so many new people, and you met me, and you met so many other people, you know, in these last couple of years, and your world is expanding, and there's so many amazing opportunities that are coming for you and that are here for you right now, which is so cool that like without even knowing it, like some of the things that's happened in the last couple of years for you has led you to the point to where you are right now and where you are going right now, which is really cool. And yeah, sometimes just like just knowing that is cool.
I agree. I mean, I think even with, COVID happened and that basically shifted how we're all approaching business. But that was kind of the beginning of, I think, where my career really took off, which is a weird thing to say as the world was falling apart. But I think it forced me into a new world. I couldn't do the 33 whatever weddings I'd booked that year because they canceled. And so all of a sudden it was, okay, I just quit my job, my 9-to-5 job. And now there's COVID. What am I doing? And I feel like it forced me to pivot. And then I started getting into more creative shoots, more fashion, more just like experimental things that those are the things that actually make me the most happy. So I don't know. I'm just kind of now interweaving those into my current life, but sometimes the worst things in the moment end up being the best things long-term. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Tell me about going to therapy. Is this the first time that you've done that in your life?
It is actually, yes. Yeah. I'm 30, so I really probably should have gone like a long time ago, but it's been...
Do you feel good about, you know, like just making the phone call and then making the appointment and then actually going?
Yeah, I feel really good. And I think I wasn't in a place to even do that back in December. That was like, I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I think pretty much November through February, I cried every single day. It was so hard. Like so hard. I didn't feel like myself. I felt just like my world had fallen apart. I didn't know what to do moving forward. But I feel like there's something really powerful about recognizing that, okay, I'm in a low point and I'm going to choose me. I'm going to choose to go to the therapy. I'm going to choose to work out. I told you this over email. I've lost 80 pounds. Like I'm like trying to take my life back little by little. And yeah, I feel like I'm not at the end. I don't know if there is an end, but I'm healing and that feels good.
Well, you're kind of at the start, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new beginnings. You know, I've just moved up to where I grew up. So I just moved home to where I grew up and I've been hanging out with my brothers and my sisters and my mom and everyone. And it's actually brought up like probably a lot of childhood trauma for me. And so I actually went and hung out with my younger brother and he just turned 20. We had a camping session and at the camping session late at night, he kind of in front of me and my other brother, he was like, Jai, I think it's time for you to go and see a therapist. And I was like, what? And he's like, and I was like, okay. And I was kind of thrown by that. But, and then my other brother's like, no, Jai does see a therapist. And I was like, no, I've never seen one actually. I've never seen one. And then my little brother's like, well, I think it's time that you do. And he's like, I'm not saying that you're sad or anything, but like, I just feel like there's things that you need to work on and everything else. And you had a hard life, you know? And I really, really like that. Like, I really like that he cares enough for me to do that. And then so I've just rang up and I just booked one in. So next Friday is my first ever therapy session. I've never done anything like that before. So I feel really nervous about it.
No, that's amazing. I feel like you're going to love it.
I think I will.
I think you will. Yeah. Hmm. I think there's just like so many patterns of thinking that are just ingrained on us to a level where you don't even realize that you're operating. I feel like the weirdest part for me has been, I felt like I was pretty self-aware and now finding that I do all of these things that kind of subconsciously that I didn't realize I was doing or operating out of a certain way of thinking and just like stripping that down and breaking it down and starting over. It's hard. And to be honest, it's exhausting, but it's good. Like in the best way.
Have you got any advice or tips or wisdom or things to share with people right now that like maybe they feel like they're stuck in their business and they really are grinding, they're doing everything that they can in their power to to get somewhere. But at the end of the day, they're feeling like a little bit defeated and they're feeling like they don't know why they're lost or why they're not achieving the things they want to achieve. And they know they can be doing more.
It's a really, really good question. I'm like, you tell me, what do you think?
Yeah.
I think that's a multifaceted answer because there's a lot that goes into that. Yep. My first thought is that, and this is just going off of me, I think the times where I have felt the most disconnected from my work, the most defeated, maybe the most just like questioning even, should I be doing this? It usually came hand in hand with feeling a disconnect from myself as a person. So I guess my question would be, or my advice would be, take some time where you can do things that just make you happy without even thinking so much of like, well, I need to be producing something for my business and this has to be directly correlated. In fact, I almost think it's good to do things that have nothing to do with photography. Put it aside for a second. Refill your, like refuel. I don't know how to say that. Like just do things that make you happy as a human being. I don't know if that's, you need to take a solo trip. You need to take a staycation. You need to see a friend you haven't seen in a minute. Go out and do something that like just brings you to life. And then I think the more that we feel happy and like ourselves, I feel like that's, well, for me anyway, the more, when I feel most like myself, that's when I feel like I'm creating in the best mindset. It just comes more naturally.
Well, like even just to share something that I shared with my employee yesterday was like, a lot of people have been asking me like, why don't you get on and make some more reels and do things like that? And the honest answer is because I'm not actually doing it for people. I am doing it for the algorithm. Like I'm doing it for the views, like without even like, I mean, just putting it out there. The only reason why I'd make a reel, to be honest, is because I'm like, let's make it trendy. Let's make it quick and snappy. And let's like share some crappy little tip because then I'm going to get in front of more people and then I'm going to get more views and then we will do it again and we'll do it again. And then the train never stops because after I make 30, now I have to make 30 more. And I'm like, let's do a better headline. Let's make it quicker. Let's do some trending music. And I'm like, man, do the people that actually need my help, do they need some trendy music from me? Do they need my 2-second like means nothing tip that just adds to the, you know, whatever it is? And so I have this really hard time with like, if I just want to be me and do what I want to do, it's like, why am I doing it for the machine and not doing it because I love it? And because it's what my students, my peers, my friends, my family, it's what they need, you know? So I find that like really fascinating, just like taking a step back and just like reassessing, you don't have to do everything that everyone else is doing just because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. And I think that there's something really vindicating when you realize I don't want to create to reach an audience. I want to create to express myself in the purest way possible and do my contribution to the world, which is just has nothing to do with anyone else but me. There's something so empowering about that. I think it's a little bit of what I want to touch on in the unrealistic workshop that's coming up, but just this idea that like when you dilute yourself, when you water yourself down, you're doing everyone a disservice, especially you. Like nobody will know if you can't just post. It doesn't even have to do with posting. It's just creating. If you're doing things that make you happy, who cares if anybody else likes it? The people that love it will find you. And I found that. I think one of the best things I did for my mental health was hiding my likes. I don't even look at them anymore. It's been the best thing. I love not knowing. Like, I just think like, this is not why I post. It's not why I'm creating. And like some of my liked posts are the posts that the clients who book me love. And so that has been an interesting thing to notice. So then it's like, does any of this even matter anymore? I don't know.
What is life? I don't know. It's funny though, because like you start attracting better people into your world, better clients, better brands that you shoot with, better like whatever it is. And of course for your mental health, like everything gets better because you get excited about it. Once again, you start caring less about, you know, I think there's this weird balance, like a seesaw between what you want to create and creating and getting money. And the way that I see it is the less that you want to do it, the more money you want for it. Or the more you want to do it, the less you care about how much money you get for it. Yeah. And so we got this weird seesaw. So I always notice like when someone really doesn't want to do something, they're going to send you a big invoice or a big quote or whatever it is. Cause they're like, I really fucking don't want to do this work. Where on the other side, it's like, if you really want to do it, you're going to do it for free. And yeah, you're going to get, you know, show up. You're probably actually going to pay to do it. Like, you know, I'm sure a lot of the shoots that you do, it costs you money. You probably hire some people. You're probably hiring clothes to wear. You're probably driving to a location. You're probably staying the night somewhere. You probably got a makeup artist, you know? And so you see this correlation of like, yeah, well, of course that work looks amazing. Like it cost me a lot of money and I did create it because I wanted it. I didn't get paid for it. And I find that fascinating.
That is fascinating comparing them. But I will say every time you're doing something that you're most excited about, even if you're paying for it, you start feeling more alive. You feel more inspired. The other ideas start flowing. You know what I think happens with burnout a lot of the time is that maybe people just stop creating for themselves. That you get to a point where you're like, well, I can't afford to. I've taken on 50 weddings. I'm barely surviving. What do you mean I have to do a personal shoot right now? Or I can't take a break. You know, that's valid. But you're just going to keep. There's nothing that will kill your creativity faster than doing things that are soul sucking. You get to a point where after a while you're like, why am I even doing this? Because you forgot. You're not doing the things that got you into it to begin with. So you almost have to like go back to ground zero. That's kind of what I've been doing, to be honest. I've just been like getting back into, why did I start photography to begin with? What was it that I fell in love with? And trying to like get in touch with that again. And I feel like as I've been doing that, I'm feeling the creative energy juices, whatever, they're returning, it's flowing. So I don't know.
So these last few years, you really feel like you dove into like using that creativity as an outlet and a bit of an escape to create your own world and your own reality.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was like but you know, what's so frustrating about that though, is that now that it's all over, now that the marriage has ended, that's when I was like feeling the most burned out. And I'm like, really? Like now that I could like put all of everything into it. But I think it comes with also changing up my idea of success. I think I really used to view success as how booked out I was or what kind of places I was going, what kind of clients I was getting. And I'm going to be totally real with you. Like those things are still wonderful, but I prioritize peace right now in my life more than anything else. And like the freedom and the flexibility of being here in my house, in my bed, you know, and hanging out with friends and having like a life outside of my business rather than just having my life be my business as much as I love it. So that's been an interesting shift.
You know, I honestly think that so many people get burnt out and they experience burnout when their definition of success is not actually their definition of success and it's based on someone else's definition. You know, so it's like, I need to make six figures. I need to travel to London to shoot something. I need to have 50,000 views on my reels. I need to have these. But at the end of the day, it's like, do you actually want that? Is that actually what you want? Well, no, it's not, but I think I need it. You know, and we base it off other people's expectations.
And I think the quickest way to lose yourself is to lie to yourself. So if you start feeding yourself that lie, like, well, this is what's going to bring me happiness, even though you don't actually give a fuck about it, you don't care, you're just going to slowly start losing sight of who you are. And then you do end up disconnected. You start here, you end up over here. And then when you're over here, you're wondering like, how did I get here and why am I here? You know, you kind of have to like look around and ask yourself, what happened?
And then you're trying to get yourself back.
Exactly. And I think, you know, is that part of the creative process? Probably. I don't think that it's just like, you've made it, you're in one spot, that's it. I think it's constantly oscillating. You're going up and down. You're going to love what you do one day and hate it the next. That's part of it, I think.
Yeah. Do you think there is like happiness at the destination? Like, you know, like say for instance, I know a lot of people look at your work and they look at you and like you get in the DMs, it's like, you're living the dream. You're living my dream. Like, do you think like people think that the destination really is that's the happiness? And is it like, is that the happiness?
Yes and no. I'm never going to give you a direct answer, I guess, but I feel like you create happiness, right? And so much of it, I think, is living in the moment and in the present, which is something I'm guilty of not doing. I'm always living 10 steps ahead. I'm always saying when I reach this goal, then I will be happy. And when you do that, you reach the goal and guess what? You're not happy because now you're looking 10 steps ahead to something else. And it's exhausting. I don't think that that's any way to live. That's something I'm personally working on changing. So there's something really powerful about surrendering to the present. That's something I'm working on right now because that you create the happiness in the here and now and accept that it's part of the journey, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that it is. I hope that you can look back at your work 5 years from now and think that's embarrassing. You know, I hope I feel that way about my work because that means that I've grown. You know,
I think that's really cool. And I think what I have noticed with like a lot of the most successful people in the world or people that I've talked to and stuff is they seem to have so much happiness regardless of the success that they have. And then what happens is it attracts the success. Like more people want to come to them. More people are reaching out to them to speak at whatever. Like more people want to collaborate with those people. And so a lot of the times we get so hung up and like strung out and working hard and like doing everything to try and like achieve a thing. But we forget that like if we are the best versions of ourselves now, then we will attract the success so much faster.
That's so powerful and true. I would say like the most growth I ever had in my business wasn't when I was focusing on growing. I was just happy and doing what I loved. I was just planning shoots with people that were equally excited to plan them. And that was when I took off, when I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just having fun doing what I loved. So yes, I agree with you.
Yeah. And so like another good example is when we're talking about the reels, like I know in my head how to like go viral in the next 30 days with some reels and stuff. Do I want to do it? I really don't. Right. So then I probably won't. Okay. And so I'm following someone else and they literally just went from, they just probably grew 300,000 followers within 30 days because they started posting some stuff. But the difference between me and that person is only, they're just playing. They're having a lot of fun. They're creating reels because they love reels. They love the medium. They love the format. They love like, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you can never compete with someone that's just doing it for the love of doing it because that's why I followed that person. I'm like, man, they're living their best life. I want a part of that. And if you're there and you're just trying to grow, like, you know, for the sake of growth, it's like, no one wants to be part of that.
It's true. And you almost like, you can't fake that authenticity. I think when you see somebody actually you really can't. Like you're subconscious. I don't know if it's energy or what, but you're subconsciously attracted to it when you see people doing what makes them come alive. So
I know. And I'd love to know how to fake it because I feel like a lot of people would love to fake it. Like it would be amazing to be able to do that. And so I think I've met people that are just driven for growth and they're annoying. It's just like, can you please step to the side? Like I'm busy doing my thing. And then you get other people and you're just like, what are they drinking? They're so happy doing the thing they love, you know? And like I've got another friend, he literally, social media is so easy, right? So he went and did a photo shoot and then he posted on social media. And then I think he got like 60 likes, came up to me and he showed me. He's like, man, 60 people liked my photo from that shoot. I can't believe I almost didn't do that shoot. And I can't believe that I almost didn't do it. And I did it. And look how amazing this is. And just seeing that person light up like that, I was like, you got to keep doing that. That's amazing. You know, like you got so much gratitude right now that someone appreciated your work. And like, look at the happiness because you're in the moment right now. You're not trying to get 120 likes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that. Just that abundance mindset, the gratitude, that I feel like is the best headspace you can be in. And so it's more just like, if I ever have somebody that I'm mentoring and they're asking me like, yeah, how do I, you know, get this many followers or likes or how do I, and I just feel like it's almost like it's the wrong question. Like, I think it's, you just have like what you were saying. It's when you're doing what is authentically you, what makes you happy and you're alive and doing it and you don't care what other people think, that's when you're going to attract people at the highest level. And I think a lot of people are afraid. I think a lot of things, it just comes down to fear. People are afraid that if I put myself out there and I make this change, that all of a sudden now I will get no likes, no one will care, nobody's going to book me. But that's actually where the real, I mean, it comes back to that quote, right? Your new life will cost you your old one.
Yes.
And the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. It's not going to pan out for you. You have to make changes.
Hey, let's shift gears a little bit. There's something that I think about a lot. It's like going back to like attracting people. I think a lot of the times, and this might get like a little bit deep with us thinking about relationships and stuff like that, but a lot of the times like we attract the same relationships. I'm talking about like whether it's your partner, it's your friends, it's your clients, it's your followers, it's whoever. But we attract the same people with the same values, but we attract the same people that value us as much as we value us, right? Or we value the world. And so one thing that I've noticed, like this is just a direct correlation, is I have some clients and they complain about everybody asking for discounts all the time. So everyone that sends them an email, they're always asking for a discount, blah, blah, blah. But those same very clients are always in my emails asking us for discounts of our products and complaining about our prices and everything else. And then they get in the Facebook group and then they're complaining about how they always get asked for discounts and how can they mediate this and stuff. And I find it really interesting that like those same people, the people with abundance never seem to get that, or they always attract the same thing. But if we value ourselves, one thing I've noticed, like with relationships, is like when you have that person, it's like, man, everyone I always meet's a dickhead and every boyfriend I get is a dickhead and this and this, but they go out there and they find that same dickhead over and over. But what they're actually doing is they're attracting the same person that matches how much they value themselves. And so if they don't value themselves that much, then they find someone that doesn't treat them very well as well. And so I find this direct correlation of just like, we need to first like value ourselves so highly. And then from there, we're going to be able to attract someone that values us. What do you think about that? Yes.
I think that you should be a therapist because mine literally told me that like last week. I think it was, so I separated with my husband, separated from him, ex-husband. Wow. It's a whole thing. We're getting there. I separated back in June of last year. And I kind of started dating like 2 months ago a little. And this was kind of right around the same time I was starting therapy. And my therapist actually was like, hey, listen, like you have diagnosed PTSD. You are doing yourself a disservice by dating right now. You need to just cut everybody off and be single at least for 6 months. She's like, because it's just what you said. She said, if you don't love yourself, which I'll be real with you right now, I don't love myself. I have a lot of self-loathing. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of like really high expectations I'm not meeting. And I don't feel like I deserve a lot of things. And so she told me exactly what you said. She said, who you attract now and what you would accept now is not the same as who you will attract and what you will accept even 6 months from now, I promise you.
Wow.
So I really feel like it's exactly what you said. We have to love ourselves. You have to put in the time. I hope you are taking the time for self-care, go to therapy, exercise, read books, do things that make you happy, that fuel you as a human being first. Those are the things that show that you love you. And then when you love you, that creativity comes back and it's just like this continuous like cycle of reward. So I agree with you.
And you see it over and over. Hey, like even with, if you got friends that are like, you know, like maybe I've got a friend that's just like drinks too much, doesn't treat anyone very nice. And like, for me, we're completely different. So I'm like, I'm not cutting you out of my life, but like we're limiting how much we spend our time together. And someone else, like they could be best friends with that person, but it's like when you have standards for yourself and when you do like love yourself enough that you will mediate who comes into your world and who you attract and everything else. And you always see, like people always say like, man, good looking people hang out with good looking people and like smart people hang out with smart people. And, you know, Instagram famous people hang out with Instagram famous people. Like you always see there's this direct correlation of groups of people. And I'm like, yeah, it's because like at the end of the day, people are trying to find someone that's like at their own level and like respect them like they would respect other people and they've like grown as much as that person or they've shifted their mindset or they've self-developed or they've exercised. Like you go and hang out with some people that go to the gym all the time. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that are really fit and go to the gym all the time. It's like, yeah, there's a reason for that. And I think that's just really cool to think about in our lives. And exactly right. Like with you, 6 months from now, like the more that you work on yourself, absolutely, like the more that your standards get higher and higher and higher for yourself. And I think that's such an incredible place to be because your standards should be high.
I agree with that. And what is, okay, I don't remember the terminology for this. Is it like sunk costs or opportunity costs? I think a lot of people, you probably know better than me, just like all the things that you've done. Yeah. That where it's like you kind of tell yourself like, well, I've put all this time into this thing, so I really shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't let it go because then all of that is wasted. You have to get that out of your head and just say, and I think actually, tell me if I'm wrong, a lot of the most successful people that I know, they don't let that weigh them down. Like
never,
they don't let
never,
they
never,
got,
never. It's actually, I would say it's the highest level of abundance.
Yes.
Because what it is like so many people hang on, I know so many people hang on to so many things. Like you could have an old car, for instance, and it's like, oh, but I just got a service, I got it registered, and I just put some new tires on it and did this and this. And it's like, you know, you hanging on to that is stopping you from like the next thing that you need or whatever it is. Bad example, but it's letting go of what you've got because you know there's plenty more out there and something better for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. If we could end it there. I really feel like that is in itself so powerful and hard to do. And I think I might've said this in one of the podcasts that we had, but somebody that I mentored once, I really was inspired by this. I think about this moment a lot. She was like, you know, I'm just not attracting the clients that I'm wanting to attract. And we looked at her feed and I asked her, like, well, do you feel connected to your work? Is this like, you know, is this you? And she's like, no, it's not. It's not representative of me or what I want to be creating or what I want to be doing. But, you know, I put the last 6 years of my life into all of these shoots and I made these connections. And I said, you know, like, if this isn't what you want, let's identify what you do and post that. What I would recommend is that you just literally archive all of it and start over. And she did. And now she's booking clients that she loves because she's only posting what she loves instead of this idea of like, this is what people want from me rather than this is what I want and what I want to put into the world. And I'm so proud of her for that. But like, it's easier said than done, you know?
I did want to say that, like, I really wanted to sort of like, if we're finishing up like this conversation shortly, it's like, me and you are having this conversation and it's not easy to talk about a lot of this stuff. And it's actually, all this stuff is really fucking hard. Like, imagine you listening to this, like even 18 months ago or 6 months ago, you'd be like, man, this is a hard conversation. And like, I didn't know other people felt this way. And I didn't even know I felt this way. Actually, I didn't even know that I'm stuck in this spot and whatever it is, but it's, we kind of have to normalize it a lot. And we have to like put it out there that it's fucking hard for me and it's fucking hard for you. And it's so hard to go through this stuff sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too heavy or trigger warning or anything, but it's very hard. I've met people the last year that I know have been through probably even harder things than I have. But yeah, I think around January, I was pretty suicidal, to be honest with you. I did not want to live. I was in a really dark place. And I'm only sharing that to say that like, life has gotten better for me. I think it's going to be a constant ongoing battle of my life, most likely, but I think that there's so much to live for. So I don't know where I'm going with this, just to say that I know that people are going through really hard things and social media, you know, can be this little perfect world, but it's not all perfect. There's a lot of hard things that
it's not all, is it?
Yeah. But I think there's something really powerful about community, like finding those people that do support you, that do empower you, that they, you know, and I think the more that I've started to gather people like that in my life, it's really enriched it quite a bit, actually. So there's a lot of people out there that, yeah, you can connect with.
Well, I think it's so powerful, like even for yourself, like sharing stuff like that and just sharing, because it's like, I don't know why, but we're in this society where we put our best foot forward, but we don't share any of the lows. And so then all of us feel alone all the time. And then all of us have anxiety all the time. And then, you know, it's just such an interesting cycle that we're sort of going through. And so just even just hearing that, you know, you go through low moments and I go through low moments and our friends do and my partner does and everyone does. And like my best friend that I was just talking about, it's like going through such a low point right now. It's humanizing. And then it gives us strength when we need strength, which a lot of the times, like, we need so much strength. And sometimes we've got to ask for help. So I hope you can reach out and ask me for help when you need some help.
Oh, and I did. I was like, Jai, what do I do? And it's hard. It's especially when you're, you know, kind of a control freak like me and you don't like to ask for help. It's like hard to admit, okay, actually I can't. But to lean into the people that are in your corner, because there are so many of them. I feel like I couldn't even have done half the events I did last year without like the stylists that I had, the creative directors that are now dear friends. You know, I leaned on them hard. I basically told them like, guys, like I'm a shell of a human being right now, but I'm doing my best. And they were just like, yeah. And they stepped up, you know, in ways that I couldn't. I'm always
grateful. How cool is that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a good community. And so you're speaking at the Unrealistic Workshop soon, and that's a big deal.
Yeah. How are you feeling about it? How's it coming together?
Well, stressed, but I think I don't know why I'm always compelled to do events, and events is the hardest business model because there's no hiding anything. It's just hard, you know what I mean? Like, and there's a deadline and the accountability is high, and then the exposure in front of everybody if it goes wrong is high, and I think everything is hard, and I feel like that's probably why I do it. I thrive in that situation, but it's like for me to test myself. And to be honest, like, I have been online teaching for so long now that I'm yearning to just meet people and have a physical touch and a connection and a hug and talk and laugh and, you know, cry and do all those things. And I think right now it's just like the perfect time for something like that, like a room of people. And I think that's going to be really cool. And I'm really excited to meet all you guys, all the speakers in person. I'm really excited to meet you in person.
I'm excited to meet you in person too, because I think there's something that changes in person. You know, we can talk all day and it's great, but there's like a feeling that can come just being in a space. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I feel like I've never regretted anything that I've ever invested in like that before. Just anytime I've ever been meeting like-minded creatives, that synergy that happens, I think it's going to be really powerful. And I love that you've named it the Unrealistic Workshop, because I feel like, I don't know, that's one of the things that I admire about what you do. You're constantly doing things that a lot of other people might say, well, that's not realistic, but you don't let that keep you down. You know, you do the things that you love and it happens. Yeah. Like universe makes it happen. I feel like that's powerful.
I think like the crazy thing about like how unrealistic a lot of things are is like everything that we kind of put together, it actually doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense on paper. And if someone asks me like, Jai, do you have a business plan? What's your expenses and what's this? I'm like, I won't show you any of that because it's not going to be successful. But I know it will be because I know people will come together and I know like people want things. And maybe it won't be, but there will be something else that comes from it. And you just never know. And I think sometimes like allowing yourself the space to play and fail, like that's what I love to do opposed to making reels and trying to get views. That's just me. Like I love to be alive and I love feeling scared and I love taking big risks and I love everything that comes from that.
Yeah, I know. I love that. But taking risks, I mean, I think that's like, I don't think I've regretted any risks I've taken. And that doesn't even mean that I haven't failed and failed really hard, like on occasion, but I feel like I've also had really big wins because of it. And I think that there's something that just makes you feel so alive, like that rush when you're like, I'm just going to go for it. And then it works out, which is exciting. So yeah.
There's like nothing else like it. Hey, it's just like, because what you're doing is you're betting on yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's a huge bet.
But you have to. If you don't bet on you, who will, you know, like, I think that that's just part of it. And I actually think, I mean, I know this isn't really even what we were talking about so much, but I think the most successful people, they are the ones betting on themselves without asking for permission from anyone else. I think there's a lot of people that are just like almost in their own way, just because they think, well, I don't deserve that, or I can't have that. And if you don't think you deserve it, you'll never have it. It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's so true. It's like you tap into your own validation inwards instead of looking for it outwards. And then the people that struggle the most, you know, in a lot of different aspects in their life is like they're always looking for the validation from outside and they can never find it. You never find it. People are not going to give it to you.
And then you'll just always be chasing something that's
we'll get disappointed. We're like, my friends don't support me. My husband doesn't support me. My wife doesn't support me. Like we'll start thinking it's all that, but it's like, nah, it's actually you are not supporting you because if you just support you, like the rest, it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. Cause I'd say like, if anyone is successful, it doesn't mean they don't have major setbacks. It doesn't mean that their personal life is great. It doesn't mean that they're not going through all manner of the perspective that you have when you're going through them. It's you see the roadblock and instead of saying, well, I guess it's over, you know, this is it. That's the end of the road for me. You think, okay, where's the escape route? How do I fly over this thing? And you have to get inventive and you have to rethink and redefine. And I don't know. I hope that this wasn't like too unrealistic for people though. Cause you know, your original question of people who are feeling defeated, that's a real feeling. And I don't want to minimize that. Just be like, well, just be happy. You know, like it's not as simple as that, but
choose
you first, do put you first, do things that make you happy. And I do think that the rest will hopefully start to fall into place when you're doing that.
I love that.
Thanks for having me. I've been like wanting to talk with you for a while. So.
Hey, Make Your Breakers. Don't you hate how you can't sort through podcasts by most listened to, most reviewed, and most loved? Right. As fellow podcast junkies, we feel you. While we can't magically change Apple or Spotify's platform, we have created a little something-something. Sifting through all of Make Your Breaks episodes to date, yep, we are talking all 200-plus episodes, we've meticulously curated some banging playlists just for you. We're talking the all-time hottest hits from Make Your Break, starring the juicy inspiration, motivation, and creative biz insights you know and love. Sound good? Jump into the show notes and follow the link to generate your very own Make Your Break playlist.